So the Lord Jesus will speak to you tonight again in Psalm 30, our Psalm of the Week. And we will be looking together at verse 2 and thinking about the main idea in that verse. We'll have in view a little bit of the context, but mostly we'll be thinking about that verse directly. Psalm 30, verse 2, hear now the living word of your Lord. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Once more. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. God provides healing when his people cry out to him. He provides deliverance. We know in Exodus that they were crying out and he delivered them. We know he even kind of worked on them that they would cry and he provided deliverance. We know as the story goes on with the church through the Pentateuch that the Israelites often greatly disobeyed God. They often greatly rebelled against him with disbelief, unbelief, disobedience, complaining and murmuring most of the time. They couldn't be thankful for what God gave them. And so he often sent punishing plagues, sometimes illnesses, physical illnesses, difficulty, if not death. But he did this to cause them to cry out for healing. He did this to cause them to cry out for healing, to be restored in him, their Redeemer, their healer. They were turning often to other things instead of him. And Psalm 107 describes that a little bit for us. Looks at the history of the church in the Old Testament, especially in Numbers. And it says this in verses 19 and 20, describing when they would cry in repentance, crying out for God to heal them, and what God's reply was to that cry. You might think he would say, no, I'm done with you. You've done this too many times. I'm done. I'm not listening. I'm not going to help you. You're on your own. But he doesn't reply like that. Psalm 107, verses 19 to 20 says this, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Now again, trouble that he brought upon them, rather they brought it upon themselves. Punishment, plagues, illnesses, all kinds of things. But when they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, he sent his word and healed them. It says more than that, but that's what we focus on tonight. He sent his word and healed them. When they cried out unto the Lord in repentance, he responded to them and healed them. And our verse tonight teaches us that God's response to a Christian's cry for help is to heal. God's response to a Christian's cry for help is to heal. In some manner, in some way. It's interesting. How might you have thought it would end? It says, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast, I would have thought, helped me maybe. But more specifically, thou hast healed me. I want to give our attention to that this evening. The Hebrew form of the word cried, it implies, it has the meaning of for help. So it's not just crying out unto the Lord, lamenting with no hope, not really expecting God to do anything, but just sort of expressing sadness, expressing pain and grief. No, it actually has the idea of crying out to God with the expectation for his help. It's asking, please help me, God. Please help me. That's what it means when it says he cried out to God. And of course, as we saw this morning, that's really the refrain of the psalm, how God in so many ways has helped David to the point where his palace is being established. There are differing opinions of what it means when it's talking about the dedication of his house, but I agree with the main that it's his house, it's the palace. His kingship has been set up and established, and he's recognizing how this is amazing. I can't even believe you had favor to make me king, and you here show me favor to sustain my life and bless it to grow, serving, establishing me as king. So the whole psalm just talks about how God has helped him. And we notice that that's because he's cried out for it. And certainly he needed healing, didn't he? Think about all the kinds of things he went through to work on establishing this kingdom. Think of all the ways that Saul treated him, which is amazing considering how David treated him. Think of all the different things that he went through, getting to this point where he finally is made king, his kingdom's established and kind of founded and settled with his own house being made. Specifically here, though, the help that he gets in return is, again, healing. The word healing. The Hebrew word there for healing is rapha. You recognize that word? Exodus 15, verse 26, we learn that one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. God brings healing when we cry out. And in fact, isn't there always a need for some kind of healing when we're crying out to God? I mean, we need his help, but isn't there always something physically or mentally or with our relationships or our situation that needs some kind of healing? I want to encourage us to be thinking, to be praying more for healing, crying out for healing, because he is Jehovah Rapha. And so David has that experience and knows to cry out for God's healing. He expects it, he asks for it, and he gets it. And so this was David's practice, to cry out to God for God's help. It was his practice. He wasn't too big for it. He's dependent on God, and it's his practice to ask for God's help. So we see that in verse 8. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. So it's peppered throughout the psalm, this idea that I cry out to you and you heal me. I cry out, I make my request unto you. I'm expecting your help. And then verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. He's crying out for help from God. And how many times does he say in the Psalms that God is my help? God is my help. So, beloved, the more that you cry out to God to help you and to heal you, the more these words can be your testimony by experience, just as he knows by experience, I cried out and you healed me. That can be your testimony. The more that you will cry out to him, I want to challenge you, how much do you cry out to God? And I want to challenge you also, is there not reason to, in each of our lives, reason to cry out to God? And I'm concerned I don't cry out enough to him. What about you? Cry out to God, and this can be your testimony of his reply, your experience. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Psalm 3, verse 4. He heard me out of his holy hill. To have the sense and knowledge that he has heard me certainly means I cried out enough sincerely and out of great desire with the Lord that I experienced his presence with me. I drew nigh to him, he drew nigh to me. But perhaps it's also recognizing again, he heard me, he answered me, as the Psalms will say. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34, verse 4. How many people have problem with fear? How many people have problem with fear? There's a reason that God tells us often, don't be afraid. Jesus says, fear not, very often. And the opposite, he says instead, have more faith. Have more faith in him. The way we saw him in the Revelation as we read closing chapter 1 this evening. He delivered me from all my fears. Do you have fears you need to be delivered from? Notice, what we fear is often nothing real. How glorious it is just to be delivered of our fears, all of our fears, so many of them not based on reality, because we don't know what is happening. So often we operate according to what we're afraid of. It never happens. Or our fear is too much about man instead of God. He frees us. He delivers us from our fears. That same psalm, I believe, O taste and see the Lord is good. Cry out to him and have him deliver you from all your fears. That would be a glorious thing to be healed from, wouldn't it? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. And as you know, that psalm is full of explicit messianic prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. I cried unto the Lord and he inclined. The idea of inclined is he stops and he listens. He inclines himself to us. He listens and he hears what we have to say. And then notice how he answers. I mean, it's the idea of how he answers. He brought me out of the horrible pit, brought me out of the miry clay, all the things causing me to sink down. He put my feet on a rock. Established my goings. He put a song in my mouth. He's caused me to praise him. Well, that sounds like answered prayer. And that sounds like healing. Much needed healing often, isn't it? From despair and depression and discouragement and fear, he takes and heals us when we cry out to him instead of just crying out. Or not crying at all and trying to subdue it with whatever the world would hand to us. We cry out unto the Lord and he gives us healing, puts a song in our heart, picks us up from the slough of despair. It seems to be described there. This is your testimony when you cry out unto the Lord. Here's what you can experience and say with David. Bless the Lord. O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 103, verses 2 to 3. This can be your testimony as you cry out unto the Lord. In my distress. Now hear that. That's what makes you cry, right? You know, when we injure ourselves, I forget what I did, nicked a finger recently or slammed a finger, and what did I do? I didn't say, oh dear, oh bother. I went, ow! You know, oh! And one of the kids says, what, you're right? Like, yeah, I'm okay. I feel stupid. I slammed my finger. I don't know. I don't remember what I did, but I think we were out in the yard working, and well, I think I did it a few times last week. So a few times I showed my weakness in my response. You know, even the littlest things, when they hit you in a soft spot, it's like, ah! And the distress is what causes us to cry out. That's why it's good sometimes the Lord gives us distress. As the psalmist, as he says in Psalm 119, it's good that I was afflicted, then I started reading the Bible. It was good that I was afflicted, then I started praying and wanting to do what you say. I started to rely on you instead of myself. It's good that I experienced distress because I cried out unto you. And what is the answer? He hears me. He heard me. This idea of being heard is wonderful, isn't it? Isn't it horrible when you try to talk to someone and you can tell they're not hearing, they're not listening? That's a horrible experience. It's a lonely experience. It's a frustrating, disappointing experience. But with God, that is not so. You cry out unto God and he hears you. And he listens and inclines to you. He's there. Pull up a chair and talk to me, he says. If you think I'm not listening, raise your voice. If you want to feel that I'm listening, I'm taking you seriously, then you take your plea seriously and get serious with it. I'm here, I'm listening. And I know what you need before you even ask. I've been putting on the pressure so that you do. Not only to get the answer, but to experience fellowship with me, which is the best answer and the greatest peace. Psalm 147, verse 3 can be your testimony as you will cry out to God for help and healing. He healeth the broken in heart. He healeth the broken in heart. Beloved, are you waiting on God to heal you? Are you waiting on God to heal your situation? I want to ask you this. Are you really waiting on him? Because if you are, you will be praying about it. If you find yourself complaining and bemoaning your situation, but you are not praying about it, maybe you're not really waiting for the Lord to help you. I ask you, are you praying? I ask you, are you praying enough? We know what that looks like. Earnest, fervent prayer is effectual by a righteous person. More specifically, are you crying? Could ask you, are you praying? But maybe the more important question to ask you is, are you crying? Or are you just sighing? Because recognize in Exodus 2, it wasn't until they turned from sighing to crying that the Lord delivered them. And he put the pressure on them to get them to take it seriously and really ask for deliverance rather than just relief and a little bit less. But get me out of this, Lord. Set my feet on a rock. Get me out of this pit. Do you find yourself crying for God to do something for you? In someone else? For someone else? For the church? Are we crying unto the Lord for him to bless our church and add to it such as should be saved with Berean spirits? Do you find yourself crying out to God regularly, beseeching him for such things? What is your situation? What are your needs? Where do you need healing? In body or soul? Relationships? In life? And how you think? And how you handle things? Where do you need healing? And are you praying? And really, more importantly, again, are you crying? A certain kind of prayer. Are you on the floor? Are you on your knees? Are you on your face? This is the example we see of those who are crying out to the Lord in the scriptures. Might there be tears that accompany the prayer? Might you be expressing anguish before the Lord, begging him, please, Hosanna, son of David, save us, son of David, as they did as Christ walked by. It's the ones who pursued Christ like that that found healing. They really wanted it. They weren't content to just go about it halfway. Get personal and have a good cry before God. You know, that's when we know who some of our closest friends are, when we can become vulnerable and we can cry. Well, who is your best friend more than Jesus Christ? Cry to him. Cry with him. Have a good cry with him. Get personal. Go to God personally. Get really serious. I think of what Elder Renner has often highlighted as he's been rejoicing in his study of the Word. He's talked about, he's paying attention to personal pronouns. He says it's interesting how often there's that personal pronoun, that personal first person, this is something about me. And again, we often think of that related to the Lord is my shepherd. Luther, I believe, says that what makes the biggest difference for you is the personal pronoun. The Lord is the great shepherd of the sheep, but is he your shepherd? Can you say he's my shepherd? And I think of that because notice in this verse, three times, a personal reference. That's what a cry is. It's personal. It's coming out of you, not someone else. Someone might join you, but it's coming out of you unto the Lord, begging him for help, begging him for healing. You're not waiting for someone else to do it for you. Notice he says, my God, my God. He says, I cried unto you. He says, you healed me. This is my personal experience of my personal relationship with the person Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to cry out to God about your personal needs for healing, body and soul, family, friends, and church. I think too often that we think we're waiting on God when we just try to hold back. We don't want to be guilty of complaining or murmuring against the Lord. So we kind of get to where this stoic place where we just try not to say anything. We try not to feel anything, maybe block it out our minds, but we are supposed to be engaged in asking God to deliver us. We are supposed to be personally involved in seeking out his plan and his provision for us. We are supposed to be crying out to him that he would heal us, that he would heal me. What are the sins that you struggle the most with? What are the sins that most easily beset you and slow you down on your race for Christ and keeping your eyes on him, the author and finisher of your faith? There's where you need to cry out for healing. I've been thinking about that. And don't just say, oh, Lord, please help me with this sin. No, cry out over it. God, help me, change me, heal me. Whatever it is that keeps leading me down this way, thinking this way, acting this way, heal me, God. Heal me. Something needs to be healed. Heal me, please. That's the kind of prayer David's talking about. That's the kind of response he gets. He gets healing. Again, just as the people were crying out to the son of David as he walked by, and they were the ones who got healed. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 to 20, we had a sermon on that a little while ago. We saw that Hannah cried out for a baby. Eli even thought she was drunk at first, right? But she's in God's temple, and she's just crying out. She won't stop, beseeching the Lord. Her husband's like, am I not enough? She just isn't satisfied. She keeps crying out to God for a child, and God answers the prayer and gives her Samuel, and then gives her a whole lot more babies. The message there was, it is okay to cry out to God. We from the Western background, and we who have a more European background, at least certain parts where it's colder and our skin seems to reflect it, I think that we tend to think we're not supposed to cry out. We're to be stoic and not express anything. David, remember, cries with Jonathan in the field. We got to cry out to the Lord. We got to get serious before the Lord. We got to cry out. It is okay to cry out to God. And maybe we could say it's not okay in many experiences not to cry out to God, not to spend time on our knees begging him to heal, begging him to answer and help us. When we don't, I fear that we are trying to solve our problems by ourselves. And beloved, you and I have no strength. You and I have no ability to solve our problems. You and I have no ability. Yes, we are to try to obey the Lord better and better, but ultimately it's in the hands of God. And so often, because we're not crying out to God to heal us, we continue to fail in the areas we could be helping the situation. We got to cry out to God. It's okay. We saw a little while in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28, the Canaanite woman kept crying until Christ healed her daughter. And there were a lot of things intended to dissuade her and send her away, but she was not satisfied. She just kept coming to Christ, reasoning and crying out until he gave healing to her daughter. The message for you then was, constantly cry to Jesus. Constantly cry to Jesus. Are you doing that? I mean, you have problems, right? Some of them I know. I'm sure many of them I don't, just as you with me. But how often do we really cry out to the Lord, expecting him to heal and help? I mean, really crying out. Not just waiting to see what's going to happen, but trusting he will help. He will heal. Constantly cry out. Pray without ceasing. Constantly cry out unto the Lord. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we see two things about Christ's ministry. Two main things about the work of the Lord Jesus. The first main thing Jesus did was preach. He preached the kingdom of heaven. He told his disciples to do it. John the Baptist did it. His apostles, they all preached the kingdom of heaven. A significant, major part of his ministry was preaching. But what was the other very significant part of his ministry? Healing. He was constantly bringing healing. I mean, it was intended particularly with these miraculous healings to prove that he was the Messiah of the Old Testament, for sure. But nonetheless, this was part of the prophecy about him, that he would be one to bring healing. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and following, quoted in Luke 4 and other places, for instance, bringing sight to the blind. All these things, he's bringing healing to those who need it. Six times as you go through the Gospel of Matthew, it almost seems to be evenly placed out. It says the multitudes came to him with all of their ailments and problems, and it closes, and he healed them. He had compassion. Remember, many times he had to feed them miraculously because so many people, yes, for the preaching, but I think especially for the healing, were following him to these places that were remote just to be near him because they were so, so earnest to be healed by him. 6 times we read he healed them in the Gospel of Matthew. And it was a lot of them who were crying out to him. A lot. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, applying Isaiah 53, verse 5 to Christ for us. By whose stripes ye were healed. He took a beating to heal you. He is inclined to heal you. It is his ministry to heal you. In the end, you will have a new body completely healed from disease, completely healed from infirmities and the effects of sin. He's in the business of healing. And so you sang in Psalm 22, verse 24, as you do usually in the third part of the psalm, about Christ, the resurrected Lord, applying his finished work in the heavenlies for us, leading worship in our midst until we return. You sang of Jesus Christ, who cried but was not heard on the cross, we know from Psalm 22. We know that you can have these words from Psalm 22 for yourself as he's now risen. It can be said of you as you have your crosses and you cry out to him. When he cried unto him, he heard. It can be said of you as you cry out to Christ. When he cried unto him, he heard. A good father, a good mother stops everything when their children are really crying. We learn to wake on fake cries. We learn to recognize when it's a cry to manipulate or it's not a real problem or a real need. But when it's real, and when there's real pain, we come running to bring healing to our hurting sons and daughters. We drop everything to pick up our child and help them. I don't know why, but I've thought about that recently. Very early on, as a father, I had Olivia. As you see now with Gabriel, I had him, I had her in a little baby carrying thing. It was at the end of church in an evening service. And Rachel, I don't know, two and a half, she was running and she fell over and bam, wanged her head on the hard floor. And I just by instinct immediately walked straight to her with Olivia swinging in my one hand and I picked up Rachel in my other and I just held her. Just calmed her to make sure she was okay. And to calm her down, and nothing else. I thought of nothing else. And that's what we have in God. When it's real, your heavenly Father will run to bring healing for you, his hurting sons and daughters. What is said of Christ? He's the Son of Righteousness coming with healing in his wings. Your heavenly Father wishes to bring you healing when you'll cry out for it. So does your comforter and counselor, the Holy Spirit. And so does your great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had compassion on all those who came to him for healing. And so he healed them. And while you cry, beloved, you will find that one of the ways God heals your spirit, fellowshipping with the Spirit of Christ, is simply this. While you cry, the Spirit of God who cries for you, Romans 8, when you don't have words, and you just cry out with that guttural, primitive, you might almost say, spiritual cry that the Spirit speaks and the Father understands, you will have a certain kind of fellowship and comfort with him. And you will find that simply crying itself can be cathartic. And sometimes when somebody cries after a long time of not crying, it's big. And they say, ooh, I haven't cried in a long time. I needed that. Well, the more often that you and I will cry out unto the Lord, the more relief, the more fellowship, the more help of counsel and comfort we will have. We're denying ourselves that when we don't cry out to him. Are you hurting? Ask God for help. Actually, cry for God to help you. He will give you healing. Cry out to Christ for healing. And that is the message for you this evening. Again, what's going on in your life? What are the things causing you anguish and anxiety and fear and discomfort? Give it to God. Give it to God in a prayer. Give it to God in an earnest, fervent cry until he answers, and he will. As David says again, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. So just as he continued to cry, may you cry to Christ for healing. Let us pray. O Christ, our Lord, we cry out to you. We have before you, as we lay before your throne, as it were, our pain, our suffering, our discouragements, our loneliness, our sins, the sins of others against us. Oh Lord, we cry out for our families, for our church. Please heal us. Please help us. We confess we are often so fearful, and we don't spend time crying out to you, expecting you to answer, expecting you to help, expecting you to heal, especially our broken hearts, especially expecting that you will deliver us from all our fears. We cry out to you, Lord, and as we face temptations to respond negatively, to complain, to murmur against you, to avoid you, Lord, help us to catch ourselves, and instead of complaining, instead of acting out in frustration and anger or sadness and despair, let us cry out to you with expectation, earnest expectation that you hear us and we can have a special fellowship with you, and that crying alone will be cathartic for us as the Holy Spirit comforts and counsels us and cries out for us when we lack words. And we know as he cries out, the Father will hear and understand through Christ, our high priest, who cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we never have to cry that prayer, but we can cry out, my God, please help me. Please heal me. And through Christ, we know you will always answer ultimately, come what may, one way or the other, in the affirmative. Especially in the end. So we do cry out, O Lord, sustain us. Help us to hold up. We do cry out, help us to persevere. Increase our faith. Help our unbelief. Help us to turn to you when we face disappointments and say, why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Said twice in two psalms close together. Three times together. Let that be something we regularly repeat for ourselves. Let us cry out to you and not simply grovel in despair and cry to ourselves. We can't help ourselves, but you can. You are our help. You are our shield. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. We need not fear. Increase our faith. Lord, bless our prayers to be more frequent and to be more earnest. And especially what our main troubles of life are, bless us to be on the floor, on our knees, on our faces, beating our breasts before you. As Mordecai was sackcloth and ashes, as Esther, and recognize that you did hear and you did deliver, you did help. And you did heal. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all your people said, Amen.